she stayed quite a while, because the kid was when she left already teenager. I think she wrote an amazing book, Beyond the Light Barrier, that I really recommend. So this is a portrait of Acorn on the right, that's her, Clara. She lived in South Africa. This is Akin, portrait of him. You see the high forehead. That reminds you of the Amits. Aldor the Amites come from a totally different place in the galaxy. That's when you see that we are all related. 319, this is a photo of Akin's spaceship. Everybody knows each other upstairs, and Thorhan made contact with Akin's brother Haben, and they decided to put me in contact with the niece of Elizabeth, Clara. We are now very connected, and to write a book about her aunt, which is the Complementofen formation after Beside the Light Barrier. It's all these informations, all the exchanges she's had with her aunt, and there's an amazing informations that in the process of being published now. And there is freaking surprise that will be in this book. Now we are working on getting the Gravity Files published. Actually Elizabeth's son has the Gravity Files, and we're in good contact with him. I recommend everyone Beyond the Light Barrier to buy this book. You need to buy this book, it's an absolutely romantic story and it really made me cry because it's so beautiful and it reminded Mammy's story a lot so much. Thomas Hahn connected with Haben, Akin's brother, and there's a lot of adventures that's gonna be this close, but I will. When her book is published, when this woman's book is published, Elizabeth Sneeze, we'll make a video about it. 320, the 6th of July 2021, Q&A Boots https://www.youtube.com/watch. V=VGRBXH1 by tonight I will tell you about the civilizations of the Boots constellation, that many of you know, cause there's a star called Arcturus in it. The Arcturians, who are they? Yes. Dot situation updates. These updates are quite. Last night Thorhan had rushed to connection, rushed to contact because he had such an important intense news. So I opened the connection, I switched on my connection device and I hear his words in my head, feel with his feelings in my heart, and these words I wrote them down straight away, because they were worth it. Thorhan, July 5th, 2021. The war has been won on Mars. We have retaken the facilities. The worst is coming for the reptilians, who have decided to remain there. The slaves have been liberated. The Chikar are winning, but a cruel defeat. All is gone for them, all their possessions in the solar system, are leaving. Elena, so I asked him what about the Dark Fleet? He said, oh no, the Dark Fleet is not gone yet. It is something different. What about Saturn equals O? It is in the process to be soon treated. Saturn is Sears and Sears are Nepu, and the Nepu are still here, still fighting with them. I had a discussion with him afterwards, because we met and he gave me more details about all these things. There are three enemy factions in our star system. The Chukar Reptilians, the Nepu Grey Orion, and the Dark Fleet, which is Earth-based. Well, Earth Dark Fleet, we know they have been kicked out of Antarctica. There are still some on Sears and other outposts in the solar system, but they have lost forces. They are really taking a hit and they have been cut from their headquarters in Aldebaran. But they are still remaining here, still trying to fight their last chance. It's not yet done with the Dark Fleet, not yet done. It's not yet done with the Greys. The Greys have been kicked out from the moon. There's still a Grey and Reptilian presence on Earth in the underground, still fighting with the Alliance. The Earth Alliance is still fighting the Orion Greys and the Reptilian Chukar in thundergrounds of Earth. It's not over, so in a good way, but it's not yet over. This war is still going on and places such as Mount Shasta are in the process of big operations of liberation. So on Earth is really the shit hitting fan, big time on Mars as well. But the difference is that Mars is mainly Reptilian Chukar own and the Dark Fleet. The Chukar facilities on Mars have been taken by the Galactic Federation. The slaves have been liberated. The Chukar are leaving Mars. There are still a Dark Fleet presence on Mars and a few Orion Greys, but the Reptilian facilities have been liberated. Reptilians are leaving, and after what Thorhan told me, they do not own anything anymore in the star system, Only few last underground facilities on Earth. But this is in the process. So it's looking good, but it's harsh. So here are the news. The war on Mars, there are still some fights and because of the Dark Fleet and their ions, but all concerning the Directuka, it's done. And you know how? He explained to me, 321, it's because of the locals, the Martians, the Martian rebellion, the reptilian and insectoid local beings, the Martians, the real Martians, they themselves liberated their planet from the reptilians. They went on the ground, they had been groomed and trained and armed by the Federation, exactly how the Federation did on Earth. They gave us technology, they gave us weapons, they're fighting with us. That's the policy of the Federation, to empower the locals, to empower the populations of Theplanet to stand up for themselves. They're doing it on Earth. They've been doing this since the 1940s. They are doing this on Mars. They have been doing this on Mars since a while, quite the same time. So it's great news about Mars. He said first the war has been won on Mars, but there are still, it's not still settled. When he said that, it meant that it was a no return point. It needs to be finished to be cleansed and liberated, but it's a no turn back. Q&AQ, do the native Mars beings call themselves Martians or Tyrians? In fact, they are not native. There's a native species who is a sort of worm, it's between the giant salamander and the worm, and they are the borrowers. You know, you've seen them, for all those who have seen the movie Dune, do you remember the worms? That's this kind of creatures. I'm not sure if they look like that. Those who have been in the SSP-20 and back programs can really answer that, if they probably met these creatures, and I am very privileged to interview in next week Eileen, Star Traveler, and Tony Rodriguez. Both have been taken to Mars, to work there. So they will describe and give a lot of elements. I do not know if the local population calls themselves the Tyrians. The Galactic Federation calls this planet Tyr-TYR. There's this local species of worms, and then there are two different species who have been introduced to Mars, who have colonized Mars a very while ago, and they stayed there. Sothi consider themselves as Martians, but they're not really born from the rocks and the consciousness of the planet Mars. But so these reptilians are very nice. I don't know their name. They lead the Martian resistance, the Tyr resistance. The insectoids, they have many shapeships, they mostly look like mantis and another type like arachnids, but they all gray genetic related. Thorhan told me that the insectoids name, it's unpronounceable, I couldn't pronounce it and even write it. The reptilians, they have a name, I put it in my next book. Q, are the greys leaving? Not been captured or punished so they can come back? The Galactic Federation has a policy of not killing. Killing is the last solution. They go by free will. They show first their power, they do a raid and they try to do no casualty, but they show their power and they show their intention, the Galactic Federation, like conducing a raid. And then they say, okay, now we're going to continue. You have a choice. We give you free. Or stay and face consequences. If they surrender, they are taken out of this star system to facilities. We could consider this as prisons, but it's like rehabilitation center. They are brought there and they have still again thecoys, abandon their aggressive agendas and start a process to raise their frequency, and they are sent back home. Otherwise they remain here indefinitely. Prisoners, if they choose to give up their negative, regressive behavior, they're set free back home. Even sometimes they bring them in at the border of their zone. The Galactic Federation of World is and is a federation of very evolved species. They do not do, 322, punishment. This is a very primitive behavior. That they haven't. That have let go. They don't do punishment. They are above these kind of practices. They will instead help these beings turn to the light and evolve. This is what they can, to turn the dark into light. Because if you thought you are somebody who's already dark, you're gonna lower his frequency even more. Punishment and suffering is not an act that is perpetrated in by the Federation. Certainly not. Q, where are all the people going to go from Mars? all the people who have been taken there from earth and used as slaves. They have been told faith has been destroyed, that has no more livable conditions on earth, and there's nobody else here. That was to cut their desire to come back to earth. But now all the human prisoners are brought back to earth. I don't know in which conditions they will be regulated, but they were all brought back to earth. All the humans. Those who leave Mars are the extraterrestrials, and as I was explaining, they are all brought to facilities to try to turn them to the light kind of things, or if they surrender and they know they have changed their mind, they are sent back home. Their home. You are going to ask, how do you know that they're not lying or saying, oh my, yes, I'm fine now, I'm going to be good, I'm going to behave and then come back with a fleet later on. Because these are things are. It's all about vibration and frequency. You cannot lie when you are dealing with the beings of the Federation, because it's from the heart. If the person in front of you is lying in which frequency the year, and once you raise frequency, you're there, you're not going to go down again. So that's what you know. But we are going to now talk about the Arcturians, the Boots constellation, because there's not only the Arcturians in the Boots constellation, there is also other cultures which are quite interesting. 323, here is the Boots constellation. You have in the middle of it the Boots constellation is named after Boots, means the herd keeper. He looks like a shepherd. Boots was depicted as a herdsman with a club. Boots follows Ursa Major, the bear, the jealous wife of Zeus turned Callisto, his mother, into a bear. Boots did not know she was a bear and chased her through the woods. To avoid further trouble, Zeus placed them in the sky. Arcturus, the knee of Boots, is the third brightest star in the sky. One of the 48 constellations described by the 2nd century astronomer Ptolemy, Boots contains the fourth brightest star in the night sky, the orange giant Arcturus. So Epsilon Boots or Isar is also a colorful multiple star, popular with amateur astronomers. Boots is home to many other bright stars, including 8 above the 4th magnitude and additional 21 above the 5th magnitude, making a total of 29 stars easily visible to the naked eye. There are many objects in the Arcturus constellation. Of course, a constellation is a visual illusion of far pattern of stars visible from Earth. Through the Boots constellation we can see objects that are extremely far from here and that have nothing to do with each other. You have the globular cluster NGC 5466. A cluster is a group of stars, it's a cradle of stars. It's where the stars are born, and it's a very young star. It's like the Pleiades. You have then a series of galaxies that are visible in the Boots constellation. It's an absolutely amazing place for amateur astronomers to have a look by nice clear night. 324, you have NGC 5248, also called Caldwell 45, an amazing galaxy that you can see there. We can see also this one, NGC 5676. This one NGC 5008. How beautiful it is, NGC 5548. 325, NGC 5653. I like the little green fluorescent beads. I wonder what gases is. It's absolutely amazing all the different colors. It's different gases that gives a different spectrometry. Then you have NGC 5778. Look at this cluster of galaxies, isn't it amazing? It's absolutely beautiful. 326, NGC 5886, NGC 5888, NGC 5698, so many worlds. And this how weird is that, you see all the little dots are mainly galaxies all around, and in the center you have void. This is very well known and called the Boots Void. It is located 700 million light years from Earth, extremely far. What is happening there? The Boots Void. No one on Earth has explained it. But regarding to our star friends, there are places in the universe where you have like pouches of dark light or dark matter. This is the dark matter. It is not antimatter, It's dark matter. It's a substance that is extremely interesting, because this substance is necessary for the universe to function. This substance is composing portals. I have no other explanation how to give you the details. This is called dark matter and or dark energy, you know matter energy. It's a very mysterious place that the astronomers haven't been able yet to explain. On Earth officially there is no scientific explanation. 327, Arcturus means the bear. It's a name from the Greek mythology, transformed into the Latin. Arcturus is a giant. This is a picture that shows you the size of Arcturus regarding to our sun. You thought Sirius was huge, but look at Arcturus. It's absolutely gigantic. There is a magnificent blue planet orbiting the red giant Arcturus, and this planet is called Aurora. It is 36 light years from our solar system. Here is the one of the most advanced civilizations in the galaxy, which has surpassed into the 7th and 9th density. 328, Aurora, the Phantom Portal. The three Arcturian groups are the Aurorae. The Aurorae are blue-skinned and they are mainly involved in helping humanity regain their sovereignty and connect their own power and their divine selves. The Arcturians are part of the Galactic Federation and also members of the Council of Five, but not as one of the five races. They are just affiliate also to the Council of Five in programs. There is a beautiful artwork that I found on internet which absolutely describes this person. The person who did this artwork is absolutely spot on about the three main races, the Aurorae, Gladan and Nulin. These are the three species living in the Arcturus Aurorus star system. So the Aurorae and the Aurorae that you see on your left are the ones that are mainly known as Arcturians, that you see interfering with Earth and starseeds. They can go to 9th density. 329. These three races are part of the same species, the Aurorae, but you see you have Gladan and Nulin, who are subspecies to them. The original species is the Aurorae. All these three species, they are an old and highly developed culture, technologically as well as spiritually. They can choose when to manifest in the third density physically, but mainly exist in etheric state, knowing that the physical matter is not an obstacle for them. The Aurorae are thus involved with the Galactic Federation of Worlds for the concern of Terra and are regarded as wise elders, great elders of light. They composed a higher caste of these spiritual beings, the Aurorae, and it well up into the 9th density. The Arcturian Aurorae are known for their power of healing, transforming matter as well as bending and manipulating light itself. They complete these things with their conscious mind, and the Aurorae way is a spiritual practice renowned through the galaxy as an art of the spirit. This is a daily practice very popular among those serving the light, and you could assimilate it to meditation in our language, although it is way more powerful than that, and that reaches out to a greater diversity of levels of consciousness. The right word to name it would be attuning. Q. Is there a reason and or an advantage for higher vibrating beings not to have hair? I don't know. That's an interesting question. It turns out that beings with no hair are. Listen, the Aurorae and the Gladan and Nulin, they have no hair. The Andromedans have no hair. Well, the Zeni have no hair, and how I have been shown human race looking like the Andromedans in million years, they have no hair as well. Seems that hair goes with evolution of humanoids. All born from a Lyran cradle. Of course, as you evolve physically, you evolve with time also in consciousness and in spiritual wisdom. So there is no direct link of losing your hair, I mean it goes by parallel. Of course when you evolve with time you will gain in wisdom and consciousness. The Nebu, the Grey, they don't have hair. The Maitre don't have hair, and they're not very spiritual beings. Yes, but it's not the same species. The Arcturians, the Andromedans, the humans are the same human genome. The Greys are not human genome, they are reptiloid genome. So from the start they don't have hair, it's not the same evolution, it's not the same genetics. Q. How do these aliens compare to self-realized yogi enlightened humans? Are they just third denser enlightened or so? Elena? The enlightenment is a natural consequence from what I've learned, a natural consequence of evolution. When you evolve with time, you gain an opening of consciousness, your DNA activates through our generation, and you become more and more aware of spiritual wisdom and you know enlightened. But some can do shortcuts, of course, can like force it and practice and just get good at it faster, like the yogis for instance, as your name. You can reach enlightenment with practice and not waiting for evolution. We can all do it. So we will access to this enlightenment and this spiritual awareness and opening of consciousness, of course, faster, because we find the portals within ourselves to activate it. It will be in the same lifetime, and that's speeding up and just forcing the portal to open to our own divinity. And humans of Earth can do that. Not all humanoids in the galaxy. I explained to you why, because you were like this before. We've been brought down, you know. We had this potential from the start. So we just need to replug within to this divinity, to this enlightenment. We have this, we were like this before. So we just need to reactivate it, not to activate it but to reactivate it, which is easier. Q. Is there a particular skin color which denotes the highest level of spiritual development? 330. I don't think so. It depends on the species. The Arcturians, the Oori and the Zeni from Andromeda are of the same origin as humans of Earth. We look different, of course. But look at the Agaroth, they have brown skin. The Arcturians are blue, and the Zeni light blue to pale play. The Imatha who have human genome as well, they are white. So I do not believe the color denotes the level of spirituality, although still many are literally bluish, but not all. Many cultures throughout the galaxy teach their children since an early age the Oori techniques of spiritual tuning. It has become an essential routine into their life. Keeping naturally connected to source via our personal channel is perfect awareness, is to never lose our way throughout the disturbance of life, and always stay tuned to the light and the ways of morality, objectivity and justice. Oori do not eat material food when not manifested in lower planes, and generally ingest energy through their nervous system. They are also able to assimilate information 100 times faster than the average Terran, because of this particular process of assimilation of information energy. They sleep few but very regularly for short periods of time, depending on each one's personal cycle, and it is a vital necessity as it is the moment when their soul travels and connects to subtle dimensions of consciousness. As guardians and protectors of higher consciousness, they are able to anchor the source directly and consciously. They work at raising the consciousness of the multiverse, the field of information, in a way that always allows free will, that means educating those who choose to take a path of ascension, raising the vibration and clearing the path to higher consciousness. Arcturians defend Terra from the reptilian and Grey's agenda. They have been working with the Galactic Federation of Worlds since the start in this purpose. They have bases on Terra inside mountains in nearly every country on this planet, and also 3 bases in its moon, more precisely behind the moon in motherships. The Arcturians, the Oori, have come to assist the Terrans in accessing the fifth density by raising their vibrational frequencies. Their ships are the finest in the entire galaxy, propelled by crystals, conducing light energy from the source core of the galaxy. 331. I have now a photo of an Oori ship, not an artwork. So huge and spherical, vibrantly white and looking ethereal or transparent. These spherical ships are also able to travel through time. They have as well small shuttle crafts, spherical in shape, you can name them probes, employed to shift magnetic points and grids on Terra in the process of helping the planet elevate into 5D as fast as possible. Something interesting they do, as they can time travel, is that they have this vaporizing module in ships that can instantly dematerialize any life form that has died, and it can be rematerialized at any time by consulting the ship's records. They can scan the being and regress it to an early stage of its the evolution of the body and reactivate it to a younger, healthier stage. It's quite impressive. The Terran souls can be sometimes brought to the Arcturian Oori starships during their dream state, where they are healed and helped, at the difference that the Arcturians, O Ori, neither violate a person's free choice. Inner Athena, tell us about your story. How was your contact? Inner Athena, they have helped me to heal. It was in my dreams. They look like angels. Elena, maybe they took you on their ship. That could have happened. Yes, it was in your dreams. Oh my god, it looks like exactly what I was describing. They take people in their dreams to their ship and they regenerate them. They heal them. Usually it's when you have a contract with them before coming, or you are one of them. Usually you are one of them. They look like in the movie Knowing, and they have this energetic, it's not wings but it's look like veils. Many light beings can look like this. I would invite you all to write your experience and stories in the comments after this video to share with everyone, because the comments will stay and we can all share experience and with meeting them. Who else lives in the Boots constellation? Anak, 332, Izar, it's a binary star system. You have two stars and these two stars have star system Epsilon Boots. Is the real name by its inhabitants is Anak Iman. The species living the gives numbers Toth planets, so they live on number 2 and 3. Thorhan told me that there's a lot of cultures who don't give names to the stars and the planet, they give numbers. Many cultures live by mathematical language. Mathematics is a universal language. It's the basis of everything, basics of the universe, it composes the holograms. Some cultures just express themselves by codes and mathematical codes. It's extremely interesting, fascinating languages. I don't know how we could hear that, I've never heard this kind of language. That is absolutely fascinating. The Anak are using this kind of language. The Anak or Anaki, they are not very friendly, they are ferocious reptilians but largely inferior technologically and in number to the draconian Chuka, although they are part of the reptilian collective and they are subject to the Chuka Empire. Slightly higher than the Solipsirae tigrades, they bear very similar features and they have grey tobrone colors. Their females have darker skin and thin scales, long black hair, slightly taller and not as aggressive as the males, who have genetically benefited from the Chuka science to improve their longevity and physical performances for combat. We recognize them by their smell. That is very interesting because they have a bit of grey genetic. Greys are reptilians and the greys are known usually to smell like rotten eggs or poo. But these ones, they smell a little bit with a variant which is rotten rust. Thorhan Torn told me that their face is triangular and they have, like all races of grace, large slender eyes. Thar grey reptilians, they look like small greys, Zeta, but look at their eyes, they have reptilianese and they do not have black eyes. But I may remind you that black eyes in the greys most of the time, except for the Kilitokert, for them it's natural, but most of the grey races, especially the Nebu races, there's Zeta as well, they have these black eyes, but it's not original, it's a biometric lens as to allow them to be able not only to see in our environment, but also its biometric devices. All Thegras, they strive in ultraviolet environments, so in our conditions with our sun it would be problematic for them. So they have like sunglasses updated. Their language can sound like thought rumble. So they speak with like mathematical codings. Butu still can hear like throat rumble. They have been involved in the eastern population of Japan to experiment, where they had a settlement, an outpost in the area of Japan a long time ago. This Anaki outpost was at the end of an ice age when the levels of the seas were lower in this part of the planet and it had more land. It would be now immersed under the water. They made a lot of experiment with the population and they had a lot of programs there that was not nice, you know, all the abduction programs. They were working already at that time for the Chuka. The Chuka, it's an empire and they employ different races who have different abilities to certain tasks in their empire to work for them. Along with the Chukasikars, they were involved in the Dulles incident, that's very important. If some abductees have memories of Dulles and small greys looking a bit different, that's the Anaki. Their ships are square and rarely visible because they mainly use Chuka ships instead, because the Kaiika have better technology. You will notice that the Anak have square ship and the Chuka mother ships are rectangular, So it's sharing the same building technology. Q. Are the reptilians beings born from eggs? Elena, yes they are. 333. Q. Do they wear clothes?